In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus has to tell us and the disciples plainly, Lazarus is dead. Euphemisms and metaphors don't work so well with the disciples. Oh, he's asleep? Oh, that's no problem. He'll be fine when he wakes up. No. Jesus has to make it clear, absolutely clear, to them and to us, Lazarus is dead. What happens when death overtakes life? With Lazarus? With us? What happens when the death that we witness is something in ourselves? What happens when we see some aspect of ourselves growing ill? Impossible to sustain, dying, finally dead. A vocation, a relationship, our skills and abilities. What becomes of us when we look at Jesus and say, come and see. Come and see this death in our lives. What is his response to us? When he sees Mary and Martha and all of Lazarus's friends weeping, his first response is to weep with them and for them. Jesus grieves with them and for them. He grieves with us and for us. He mourns the end of earthly life just as we do, but the story doesn't end on that note. Even in the midst of his own pain and anger, his divinity leads him and all of us to the recognition of God's life in the midst of human death, all kinds of death. When he asks where Lazarus's body has been laid, what words do they give him? They say, come and see. When Jesus began his ministry, when he called people to a greater knowledge of and service to God, what words did he give them? Come and see. He's asking them to come and see all that God has done and is doing and will do in this world. When we then ask Jesus to come and see, the context is different, but the meaning is the same. Come and see what God has done and is doing and will keep on doing with me, with us. Come and see, Jesus. Come and see as you told us to do. Because we believe that God will give you what you ask. Because we believe that that which is dead will be brought to new life. Because we believe that you are the Son of God. Come and see what you have taught us to believe. And make that new life real for all of us. As it is in the beginning of his earthly work, so it is as he approaches the end of it. Only now, it's not Jesus who asks us. It's that we have been taught to ask him. Jesus' ministry is all about teaching us to ask for God when we need God most, inviting God into all aspects of our lives, even and especially the most painful ones. Where is this death? Jesus asks us. And we have learned to say, come and see. And so Jesus goes and he grieves and then he acts. God acts through his own Son to bring new life into the world, and not just for Lazarus, not just for Lazarus's family and friends, but for the world. Here is a foretaste of the larger resurrection that gives life to the whole world, even in the midst of death. Lazarus, come out. Lazarus is bound hand and foot. He's masked by these burial cloths in which he was entombed. Lazarus comes out of that tomb and waits to see what this new life will be. But he's still tied up. He's still bound. He's still blind with death. What about that? And what about our earlier question? What does God say to us when we see death in life, our own lives? What happens when we invite God into the losses that we face and we say, come and see? Well, first of all, he identifies with us in our pain. Our pain is God's pain when we feel it. And our pain is not what God intends. Death is not what God ever intended for us. Remember, we were created to take joy in life, to give glory to God, to celebrate gifts from God and from each other. Our sin and the sin inflicted on us brings death of all kinds. But God is always, always pulling us back to life. God also understands that we do suffer. We grieve. We weep. And so God weeps with us first, before anything else is done. I see you, God says. I love you, and your pain is my pain, God says. So that's part of what God does when we cry out to him in our loss. God listens to us when we say, come and see. Come and see the mess that things are in. Come and see this tomb where I've laid my plans, my hopes, my life. Because I believe that you can help me. I believe that new life is yours to give, but you need to see this. I need to know that you, God, are seeing this with me. And that's another thing that God does. God witnesses this death with us, without denying its presence and its pain. So here we are. We're standing with Jesus. He's acknowledged our pain. He's felt it with us. He's standing here at the tomb with us. He sees that burial place. He sees that heavy stone. And then he says, move it. Open up. And we say, I don't know about that. That's going to be nasty. That's dead. I don't want to see that anymore. Nobody wants to see that. Maybe whatever's dead in there should just stay in there. I don't think I want to see if this new life thing is really going to work. Jesus says, no. Don't you want to see how God's glory is going to work in you? Move that stone. Open it up. What a scary thing to have to think about facing that change. What is new life going to look like when it's given to us? And what do we have to do? How do we step back into a world that is so changed for us when we've experienced death and must re-enter life? What does it mean to learn to live again when we might feel as though parts of us have died? Who's going to help us? Some of you might remember that last week I talked about these miracles that we see in John's Gospel and how they're initiated by Jesus. They're only possible because of God, but many of them require us to act. They call on us to participate. I mentioned the water into wine at Cana, where the people have to do the work of filling those stone jars and then taking the wine to the steward. The miracle of healing the paralytic. You take up your mat and walk. You do it. The feeding of the 5,000, where the boy offers his own fish and bread. And last week, the healing of the blind man. Go, you go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And last week, I promised that we would get to Lazarus today, so here we are. In today's gospel, Jesus prays and says, God, I know you've already heard my prayers. I thank you for what you've already done because only you can give new life. And you've already given that life here and now. It's only after Jesus gives thanks that he says, come out. And when this new life comes stumbling out of the tomb, still bound, still tied up, still masked with the burial cloths, remember our earlier question about that? Who's going to help him? Who is supposed to help Lazarus when he can't take the action on his own just yet? Who is supposed to help us in our new lives when we can't take the actions on our own yet? When this new life comes out, hobbled and blindfolded and still helpless, Jesus calls on God's people. Jesus gives thanks to God, and then he calls on us, you, all of you. Unbind him and let him go. You set this new life free, reveal its face, support it, help it get back into the world. That's what God does in the midst of all kinds of death, any kind of death, all the loss that we feel. God gives the breath of the Holy Spirit to bring forth new life and then sustains it in the power of human community. The story isn't really about Lazarus at all. The story is about God's people. It's about us, about our response to each other. God brings us new life and sustains it, but we are the body of Christ that participates in that work for the glory of God. So whom do we know that is crying out for new life? Whom do we know that is wrestling with some kind of new life that they've been given? Whom do we know that needs help seeing where that new life might be in the midst of grieving what they have lost? Someone in your life is bound up with this. There is someone, at least one person in your life, who is tied up and blind with death. And God is looking at us. God is looking at you and saying, set them free. Help them to see. Help them to use this new life and these new gifts, these fresh and undiscovered gifts. And maybe it's you. Maybe you're the one dealing with this. Maybe you're wondering how you are going to live a new life without the work that you did, or the relationship that you had, or skills and abilities that have slipped away from you. Who is going to help you? We are. We all are. We and your friends, new ones and old ones, and your family, both the one you were born into and the one that you've made, we are going to help you. We're all going to help each other with God's help, because that's our part of the promise. When Jesus says, come out, you come on out. And when Jesus says, unbind them, you get moving and you set them free and you welcome them back, because we have joined into a covenant with the God of life. We've become part of the promise that God makes to God's creation. When death overtakes us, we witness and we share the grief with each other, just as God shares it with us. We look for signs of new life, even when it frightens us to open up the grave of the old one. And when we see new life, we support it. We unbind it and set it free. We allow ourselves to be set free if we believe that God works through his only Son. And if we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God at work, and if we believe that we are the body of that same Christ, then our work must be that. Witness and grieve together, watch for and welcome new life together. I'm going to say exactly the same words to you now that I said about last week's gospel. Once you've been healed, and once you are ready to proclaim Jesus as your healer and savior for yourself, your work as a Christian is to proclaim it for everyone. Those are our instructions. Your healing and your faith, and I will add your new life, are not private matters between you and God. Personal salvation as an end goal of faith is a crock. And again, you can quote me on that. Go forth and make disciples, Jesus says. And we can't do that if we're not talking about how God is at work in everything good about our lives. These healing miracles are for us, it's true. They're for our communities and for groups of people, it's true. But more than that, God heals and sustains and promises eternal life so that God's glory can be shown and shared. When we look at God's miracles, we see that they're spread out amongst individuals and groups, but all for the same purpose: to shine God's light, to show God's glory, and to give us the stories to share with everyone. Amen.